Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Paul, in these few words, basically establishes what has happened in our world and how that affects us with a new creation, new direction, and a new priority. All that involves the fire of the Holy Spirit in our life. Come along with me as we take another closer look at these words from Paul and how he states for us what has really happened. Verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us. This morning, what controls you? Have you ever thought about that? Paul talks about love. And in our world, people are really looking for true love. Not love that's based upon something that's earned, but love that is unconditional. Paul says it's that kind of love that controls us. It comes from Christ. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. In that death of Jesus Christ, we see true love. Therefore, all have died. We are baptized into that death. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves. Remember last week I shared with all of you two types of service, selfish service and selfless service, where we look at others. We don't just look at ourselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised from the dead. This is astronomical. It has changed not only us, but our world. Literally, it's 2022 because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the love. Now, it's down like a bookend, okay? He starts out with this love that controls us, and then he describes what that love did for us. 21, for our sake, he made him, that is God the Father, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'm going to explain this as the great exchange. The great exchange is this. God is a just God, and he has to be just with our sin. Well, how do you deal with the sin of the world? Well, he took the sin of the world while Jesus was on the cross and placed it on Jesus, and he took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and put it upon us. The great exchange. You might say, that wasn't very good for Jesus. We get his righteousness, he gets our sin. That wasn't good for Jesus, good for us. That's why it's called Good Friday. It's good for us what happened, not good for Jesus. And because of that great exchange, his death and then his resurrection, we have been forgiven. And so Paul says, okay, this we know has happened. Okay? This is the impact that God has brought about in our life. True love. How many of you have ever seen The Lion King, the movie The Lion King? Maybe both of them? Well, every once in a while, Mufasa says something that is worth repeating. And this is what he said. There are a lot of people who search for what they can take. But he says a true king searches for what he can give. Folks, we have a true king. He's called Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings. And he's the true king because he has given his life. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the impact. Now, what does that cause in our life? What does that bring about in our life? And Paul says three things. Let's take a look at those. Verse 16. And I brought an object lesson for all of you. You know, I had an object lesson for all the kids this morning. I brought another object lesson for you. You see this? This is called Red Bull. And I think you know something about Red Bull because you watch TV. You ready? Let's see if you know it. Red Bull gives you?
Wings.
Oh, yeah. You bought into that, didn't you? Yeah. Well, I don't know if you ever drank one of these. I did. And it didn't give me wings. It got me wired. Okay, but I did. It felt like I was floating on the ground. I was moving so fast. I think that's the concept of Red Bull gives you wings. Well, if you can understand this about Red Bull, I'm here to tell you, Red Bull doesn't give you wings, but God does. He gives you the wings of the Holy Spirit, you might say. And it is Paul who kind of shares with us this concept. Verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according, or regard, we regard no one according to the flesh. Regard. We no longer see people and think of people just according to the flesh. See, at one time, all we see is kind of microscopically, the flesh. But God has given us telescope eyes to see people the way they might be someday. There's a lot of people who live just according to the flesh, but God wants us to understand, no, we see them differently. Listen to how he explains it. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, at one time, people just saw Jesus, including Paul, just as a man. Maybe a prophet, but just a man. But now, by his death and by his resurrection, his miracles, his life, we don't regard him just according to the flesh anymore. We see him as God Almighty, the Messiah, the Holy One, the one proclaimed in the Old Testament. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, when this therefore comes out, he's saying, listen up. Therefore, because he died on the cross and rose. Therefore, we don't regard him just as a man, but the Son of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. Notice this, if anybody is in Christ, you're in Christ, he's saying. Now, in Galatians 2:20, Paul says it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ in me. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And because of that, you are a new creation. Today is a very important Sunday in the Christian church, especially Christians who follow the calendar or the pericopes or the Christian seasons. Now, does anybody here know what Sunday today is that Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, Episcopalians are celebrating throughout the world? Transfiguration Sunday. Yeah, where Jesus takes three disciples, Peter, James, and John, they go up on a mountain, and he's transfigured before them. Meaning, they saw his human nature, his flesh, now they see his divine nature, and all of his glory. So they would no longer just regard him in the flesh, but his divinity. But there's another reason Jesus took those disciples up for the Mount of Transfiguration, to show all of us what will happen in our life. To us, a transfiguration will take place. A metamorphosis takes place in us, and we are a new creation. The old passes away. The new has come. Let me explain it to you with animation, if I may. I want you to imagine two caterpillars crawling on the ground. All they do is crawl and eat. And a butterfly flies by. One caterpillar nudges the other and says, "You'd never get me up in one of those." The other one says, "Me either." Well, the butterfly heard that and floated down on a branch right next to the two caterpillars and said these words, "Pause, strangers, as you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you could be." One caterpillar nudges the other and says, "Over my dead body." The caterpillar says, "That's what it would take." Well, but if you are like me someday, you can fly above and float above and go to a flower and eat nectar. And you can pollinate flowers for the next generation. And the one caterpillar said to them, "I don't care. I want nothing to do with it." Now, if you understand that little story, you can understand what happens to all of us and the people of the world through the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have been transformed. A metamorphosis has taken place. It's not what we do. It's what God does. Now, the DNA of a caterpillar and the butterfly are the same. What's the difference? Their life and what they do and how they live. And we have the awesome power by the freedom of the will to say no. See, the difference is we can say no. We're not caterpillars. We can say no. I don't want nothing to do with it. But it is God who metamorphosizes us into a new being. We still have the old sinful nature, but we live differently. We can now fly and see the world differently and see flesh differently, and we are a part of God's plan to pollinate for the next generation. And this new creation that we are is in Christ. So, the first thing Paul is talking about is a new creation. And then he moves to the new direction. Let's take a look at that. Verse 18. All this is from God. Yeah, maybe you've heard somebody say, "You know, I've tried Christianity. You know, you can't do that. It's impossible. You can't become Christian on your own. You can't just try it." No, this is something that God does within you. Justification is the work of God in your life. You don't change yourself. God changes you. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. That's justification. Our sin upon Jesus, his righteousness upon us. We have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ from the wrath of God, Paul says. Now listen, we have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ from the wrath of the Father. And then he says this, we were once enemies, and now we've been reconciled. If, and listen to this, if we have been reconciled, how much more will he save us through his life? It's almost as if he's explaining two salvations. You see, we've been saved by the wrath of the Father because of our sin. Justification. And then he says, how much more will he save us from in life with his life? The two salvations are basically this, justification and sanctification. Justification is a one-time thing. It happens from the beginning when God justifies us. The sanctified life is an ongoing process. It goes on and on. It's Jesus saving us from ourselves on a daily basis. Okay? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. You know what he's doing? Interceding for us. In our baptism, Jesus made him promise, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Sanctification is God working within us to make us more like Christ and to live more like Christ. That's 24/7, folks. Now you know why when we celebrate communion, I say these words, may it keep and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting through word and sacrament. On a daily basis, God saves us from ourselves with the life of Christ in our life. And he has given something to us. We're a new creation. Listen to this. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to offend some people. I think it offended Jeff O'Hara last night, but he may not admit it. Nowhere in the Bible are we given the ministry of music. Sorry, Tina. Sorry, Jason. Nowhere in the Bible are we given the ministry of liturgy. Those of you who may have a very traditional background. Nowhere's in the Bible are we given the ministry of fancy buildings. Ooh, yeah. Nowhere's in the Bible are we given the ministry of exceptional preachers. Sorry, Dr. Spohman. Yeah, but you know what we're given? Now, God has called Dr. Spohman and I. Some are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and preachers. But you know what God has called Dr. Spohman and I and all of you into? The ministry of reconciliation. Wow. Imagine that butterfly not saying anything to those caterpillars, not sharing that. They can fly and can do so many different things. Let's look at how he explains it. That is, in Christ, God reconciled the world to himself. There's nothing wrong with music. There's nothing wrong with buildings. There's nothing wrong with liturgy, as long as it's done to the glory of God. But what our new direction as a new creation is, we have a ministry of reconciliation. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Go and make disciples, not go and make liturgy, not go and make music. Make disciples, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That's our direction as a church. At the end of the year, we should stop and say, okay, where have we reconciled? Where has anybody been reconciled to God? That's direction. We need to do that. Now, hopefully you're asking right now, at this hour, what's the best way to do that? We get caught up in the flesh. We get caught up in a building, in music, in liturgy. The world does all that. What makes the church different? You ready? You know what the world is looking at? Looking for changed lives. You know what influenced the Roman Empire? See how they love one another? Take a look at this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you. Come on, wake up. On behalf of Christ. I'm sure you have said many times, or you're proud you are a Christian, and you should be. But you know what the next level is? Is when you finally realize you are an ambassador. I don't know if you're getting this. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're an ambassador. Respond by saying, sure, so are you. Now, this stuff we learn in school, what an ambassador is, right? And you don't go to China and walk into the airport and say, I'm the ambassador of the United States of America. No, you don't have that power. You can't do that for yourself. It is your country that appoints you. Do you realize it is God who's appointed you? Yeah. And as an ambassador, you represent the country, not yourself. We represent God, not ourselves. As an ambassador, you speak for the country. You represent the country. You have the power and the might and the protection of your country behind you. And if you're a really good ambassador, don't you learn that country's language and see that country as a little different and what your country wants to see out of that country or those people? We are Christ's ambassadors. He has given us new eyes to see people differently. And he asked us to understand their language, their life. Do you realize people that you meet, there are those who believe and those that do not? There are those who live in the old life, not the new life. There are those who serve for themselves and those who serve selflessly for Christ. There are those who believe in those who are accursed. And we have to speak to them on their level. And we have to understand that God has placed in their heart eternity, and we have to see the future, what they could become, who they might be as a new creation. Do you see people that way? Let me wrap it up for you. Paul implores us to do this. I want to take you back to 1700s. You may have heard of John Wesley. John Wesley is a man who founded what we know as the Methodist Church. He broke away from the church in England, and he rode a horse to all these churches that he served. It is believed that he rode 250,000 miles on a horseback. That's 10 times around the earth. One night he was riding his horse and some man jumped out of the bushes and said, "Halt, stop." Grabbed the bridle of that horse and said, "Your money or your life." He was robbing him. During a time when you could be killed very easy just for a few pennies. Well, John Wesley reached in his pocket, emptied him, and took out all his money. Wasn't a whole lot. And then he opened up his saddlebags and showed this. "I have books. You can have anything you want. Over here, I have books, my horse, anything you want." Well, the robber was very disappointed. He didn't get much from John Wesley. And so he started walking away. And when he got away, it is John Wesley who said, "Stop. I have something more to give you." Well, the robber was very intrigued with that. He turned around and came back. And John Wesley said, "Listen, if someday in the future you realize what you're doing is wrong, and this is not what fulfills you in life, and it's not what you want to continue to do, just remember this. This is what I give you. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us all, including himself, from our sin." Well, the robber just kind of shook his head and walked away. You want to get rid of a robber? Start talking about the gospel. Okay? Years later, John Wesley was preaching, kind of like what I'm doing. After an evening service, everybody got up and kind of left, but there was a guy that stood off to the side, a prominent, well-respected businessman in the community, but more than that, a child of God. And after everybody left, he walked up to John Wesley and they recognized each other. Or I should say, John Wesley recognized the man. It was the former robber whom God has used, his voice, his life to influence And the robber walked up to John Wesley, got on his knee, grabbed John Wesley's hand and kissed it, and said, "To you, I owe it all." And you know what John Wesley said? "Stop!" The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has cleansed us all from our sin. He didn't argue with them when he was being robbed. He didn't look for vengeance. He knew how he was changed and how this man could be changed. And God changed him, metamorphosized him into a new creature. And he's done that for us. You've heard of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, right? I've heard it said a fifth one is going to Jerusalem. I don't believe that anymore, because I've been to Jerusalem. It's pretty amazing. But I believe there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you. And me. For some people, the only Christ they will see, the only Bible they will read, is you and your new life. How you live it. How you fly. Red Bull doesn't give you wings to live a new life and fly. It's Christ has given you a new life to fly differently, to live differently. You're an ambassador in your marriage, an ambassador in your family. You're an ambassador for Christ where you work, in your neighborhood. And through that, I believe more people are changed, because the life you share and the words you share then preachers and buildings and stained glass windows and liturgies. Wow. What a new life. What new direction and what priorities. May priority one in your life be, not that I'm a Christian, that's okay, but I'm an ambassador for Jesus. Amen.